everybody, welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes and I'm joined yet again by Organis, and we've given Uggy a busy week this week. You know, look, there's only one game in town again this week, and of course, Herzelensky, the narco-fuhrer, is front and centre. The big Don, still tickling away in the background. We don't know which way he's going to go. This is the unique thing about the great new American president, you know. Let's have a look at one specific moment, which we think here on the Moscow Mules really reflects the seriousness and the incredible nature of what actually went on in the Oval Office last week. A moment where you've got the President of the United States of America basically openly mocking the president of another country. A country that's received $300 billion in aid. Oh, they didn't get $300 billion. They didn't. Since 2014, they've had $300 billion. That's the best guesstimate anyone can come up with. Run the video, Uggy.
Then you tell us, I don't want a ceasefire. I don't want a ceasefire. You know? I want to go, and I want this.
I mean, it's incredible, right? Absolutely incredible stuff. I mean, I don't think you're likely to see the likes of it again. Can you imagine how embarrassing and how devastating this was for a man who used to turn up in Washington, still turns up in Europe, and they fall at his feet, literally. Well, the United States of America, the USA, is under new management, Mr. Zell. Let's have a look at how he ran, you know, really like a rat up a drainpipe. Where to go? Straight to Europe. And the European leaders, of course, were on hand to give completely individual, right, Uggy, responses. Let's have a listen to Uggy read back the individual, completely unscripted reactions, right, Uggy, of some of the European leaders. Uggy?
So they all posted this. Your dignity honors the bravery of the Ukrainian people. Be strong, be brave. Be fearless.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That wasn't at all centrally crafted, right? Nobody came up with that and then sent it to everybody else to post. You know, if that doesn't show you that the whole thing is a manipulated show, I don't know what does. And like the big Don said at the end of this show, you know, some people said, oh, cut the camera, stop the rolling. But the Don, you know, ever the entrepreneur, the ex TV star, TV host, he knew this was great TV. And he turned to old J.D. Vance and said, let the cameras run, J.D. I'm glad the neighbors hear what kind of a bully you were, you know? Absolutely incredible. And, you know, everybody, the dogs in the street, knew exactly what was happening in the Oval Office. Zelensky was getting f***ed over, big time, thrown under the bus. This was an ambush, maybe, a demonstration of his lack of statesmanship, absolutely. But one particular correspondent in the Oval Office, right, Uggy, just so happened to be from the BBC, the bullshit broadcasting corporation of the UK, you know, MI6's PR department, and he got caught on an open microphone, never alone on a microphone, thanks to Rory Suchet for that one, and he got caught saying what we were all thinking. This is not the first time someone got in the Oval Office. Run the video, Uggy.
He does not want to appear divided, not least in the face of Russia.
James Waterhouse there for us in Kyiv. Well, European leaders have been rallying behind Ukraine, expressing their full backing.
I saw a meme saying this is the second time ever that a US president...
Prime
someone
Minister
in the
Keir
Oval
Starmer
Office.
His own visit to the White House.
Oh, that's just beautiful. And it couldn't have happened to nicer people at the old BBC. BBC Verify? Mm-hmm, verify that, ass. And in the aftermath of the meltdown, guess what happened? The Ukrainian public, these very brave people who seem to be populating European cities, over a million men of fighting age in Europe, right? All very vocal, all out in the streets, wrapped in Ukrainian flags, wrapped in OUN, UPA, Bandera flags in Dublin, where I'm from, parading this down the streets. Jump up and down if you hate the Muscovites. And the big Don probably saw a bit of this and he decided to do something about it. And he is now revoking the legal protection, or the refugee status, if you like, of nearly 250,000, right, Uggy, Ukrainians. And it kind of, you know, you got to say, well, maybe he's doing the right thing here. These people are the most vocal critics of the big Don. They're the most vocal advocates for continuing the war, but they don't fancy actually going to the war, right, Uggy? And we seem to have a little video here, which Uggy has dug up from the little dustbins of the interweb, and that kind of really demonstrates the reality of when the war comes knocking on your door, particularly if you're one of the advocates for the ongoing meat grinder, which has become Ukraine. Let's have a look at a very powerful popular Ukrainian blogger who had been a real cheerleader for the bloodbath, reacting to the news that he may also have to head east on a one-way ticket to Bandera. Run the video, Woggy.
Всім пока, я на фронт поїхать. Уже час мені виїжджати чи коли? Я дуже сильно радий за вашого брата. Він молодець, я ним пишаюсь, він герой. До мене, які питання. Встать їхати мені зараз на фронт? Його рот, я не розумію. Вам це все не нужно.
Note that on his background he has burning Kremlin.
Стараюся, ви думаєш, там живеш, напрягаюся. На фронт.
And of course, looking at this dude's reaction when he had to go to the front, he thought he was safe, right? But most people in Ukraine are not safe, unless you're the kid of one of the elites or one of the oligarchs or one of Zelensky's inner circle from his old TV station, the people who he appointed as the head of the president's office, the head of the SBU, all people who worked in his TV company, you know, like me and Augie taking over the White House. Yeah, what the heck? But, you know, the reality of what's going on in Ukraine internally surely is close to implosion. How long can these people survive this kind of stuff, Augie, right? You read in the press, you see the videos day after day, busification, people getting dragged off the street, older and older people, people with handicaps, people with serious illness, people with HIV. The train is really dragging the dregs now out of the darkest corners of Ukrainian society and pushing them towards the front, right, Augie? And the people doing the abducting, the kidnappers, Zelensky's key men, are coming under a bit of fire themselves, Augie, right?
Exactly. They are universally hated. And according to Ukrainian press, attacks on Ukraine's draft officers are on the rise, fueled by social tension and, of course, it's Ukrainian press, Russian interference.
Oh yeah. Of course, it's the Russians making the people, you know, not want to be abducted to die for NATO and the EU. Yeah, it's all Vlad's fault. But imagine that good old Zelensky actually did have the cards, Augie. You know, the big Don, you don't have the cards. You just don't have the cards. I've got the cards. I've got lots of cards. You have no cards, okay? But imagine he did have the cards, Augie. I wonder what things would look like in Bankova Street, in good old Kiev, if the big Z, or the little Z, had the cards. Run the video, Augie.
I'm in a good position. You don't have the cards right now.
Oh my God.
Dave, play a tune here.
It's too good. It's too good. I mean, this. It's a classic. It's just too good, isn't it? I mean, you guys out there, there's such genius out there, right, Augie? The people just immediately got to work on, you know, demonstrating how screwed the situation is for poor old Narco-Fuhrer. You would imagine that given what happened in the Oval Office, that there would have been a major reality check in Kiev among the Zelensky loyalists, the Banderites, the neo-Nazis, the people propping up this complete show. You'd imagine they'd immediately say, look, we're screwed. We're losing territory everywhere. You know, we're losing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. The game is over. The economy's screwed. The energy system. We need to kind of come to our senses. Right, Augie? You'd imagine that that's what would have happened. But it isn't what happened. Immediately, everybody piled onto the poor old Don for the crime of wanting to bring peace. Right, Augie? You've got a bit of feedback from within the Ukrainian, you know, mind virus shelter, where they actually believe that the Z did absolutely nothing wrong and didn't tell like 20 lies in the first 20 minutes of his discussion. Right, Augie?
Here's a message from the Ukrainian President's administration. Zelensky was absolutely right in both form and content. Therefore, we will not apologize for an alleged mistake that did not happen.
Oh, Jesus. And what do they do immediately? Now, they don't have the USAID money anymore, the, you know, billions which to make all their propaganda. You know, USA controlling 90% of the Ukrainian press. But they immediately got to work on some sort of counter-narrative propaganda that Zelensky is actually the hero. Let's have a look at a Ukrainian-manufactured video which kind of says it all about the attitude. Mm-hmm. Time to cleanse with fire, Don. Time to cleanse with fire. Run the video, Augie. I mean, this is the brain rot. Check this. This is all they got, right? That's all they got, Augie, yeah?
That's all. I mean, that's the rest of the budget being spent wisely, I guess.
If that was paid for by USA, that would have cost about $200 million. What we love here on the Moscow Mules, Augie and I'm sure you guys at home, is just how the big Don seems so unfazed by this stuff. He just bounces straight back, heads to the Congress, and delivers one of the longest speeches ever there. I think it was about 90 minutes. And he really, you know, hadn't turned off the flamethrower. One of the standout bits for Augie and I was, when he decided to shine a light on poor old Senator Warren, basically calling her Pocahontas. This guy is indefatigable. Look it up on Google. He really is something else, right, Augie?
Right, and just to let the viewers know, he called her as she was refusing to support Ukrainian peace efforts.
Yeah, run the video, Augie.
With no end in sight, the United States has sent hundreds of billions of dollars to support Ukraine's
No defense. Lie detected.
With no security, with no anything. Do you want to keep it going for another 5 years? Yeah, you would say Pocahontas says yes.
Check her face. Look at JD in the back of Johnson having a great old giggle. It's like school. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. You know, and looking at Mike Johnson and JD behind the big Don there giving the speech, these boys are having fun. Whatever you think of them, these guys are enjoying themselves. And there's an air of realism about them. These are the guys that you do want to go to a barbecue with, not Kamala and Sleepy Joe and Jill and all the cretins, the liars, the frauds and the fakes. These are the good guys. I'm sorry. Yeah, shoot me. And talking about the school vibe, it seems somebody in the Democrats, maybe even a Republican, got a bit giddy during the Big Don speech and decided to flick a little spitball, a bit of paper, chewed up, fire through a pen, whatever you like, and it landed straight on the old Don's arm. Yeah, for real. Augie, let's have a look.
Instead of having them be
they shot a spitball. Watch.
Number one at the top school, as an example, being forced out.
It's coming down his arm.
Not being allowed
watch.
To stay and create tremendous numbers of jobs.
There it
and
is.
Great success for numbers of jobs.
There it is. Who did it? Who did
so
that?
We take
of course, the reaction from the Democrats, the libtards, was predictable. They had a complete meltdown. But it was a very coordinated meltdown, right, Augie? And you might remember that earlier on we talked about how the EU had, in a very synchronous way, all decided to say the exact same thing to the narco-fuhrer. Well, guess what? Over in the US of A, the Democrats all decided to say exactly the same thing in a speech criticizing the big Don's speech himself, the speech he'd given. They made a little speech, completely coordinated. The big question is, who's writing the script? Run the video, Augie.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
Unreal.
At this point, I believe that half of the population of this planet are actually remote-controlled robots.
Yeah. Propaganda by osmosis. You're just stepping in it. You're swimming in this soup of complete bullshit. It's absolutely unreal. So these automatons who are all being given the same thing to say, it's remarkable. Democracy. I mean, this is insane. Somebody somewhere wrote a speech for all these different politicians who are all meant to have opinions of their own to say the exact same thing to you. And you're meant to lap it up. I know the big Elon boy was very unhappy about it, and he offered a free Cybertruck to anyone who could find out who actually wrote the speech. Now, these are the people who've given, you know, 300... billion, but Augie believes it's actually even more, right, Augie? And it's more than had been given to one of the United States' most illustrious allies, right, Augie?
Right. So if we take Trump's claims that America has spent on Ukraine $350 billion since 2014, mm-hmm. and that number seems to be correct, let's compare it to the money spent on Israel since the establishment of Israeli state. That's 80 years ago.
Wow.
So within this 80 years, they spent $310 billion on Israel. Just imagine the kickbacks for this whole Ukrainian affair.
Wow. So in that short space of time, basically 10 years, they've spent more than they spent on the entire state of Israel. And the US has been a big supporter of Israel, as we know. And one of the things that they would have denied, just like Hunter's laptop, just like, you know, remember Zelensky getting a slap from the big Don saying, well, you know, Vova up the road here, he never, you know, sort of had a problem when they said it was Hunter's laptop was a fake, was a Russian fake. He stuck with it. He didn't lose his shit over it. But something that people did lose their shit over when it was revealed by journalists like me and many others working in Ukraine and in Russia, was the fact that the US was running biolabs. Oh, conspiracy theory, biolabs, conspiracy theory. Yeah, really? Guess who has admitted that the biolabs are real? We knew they were real. But just like everything else, if it comes from Russia, it can't be real. Yeah, look up. What's that? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Maybe it's a nuke. Yeah, it's not real. It's from Russia. Mm-hmm. Augie, let's have a listen to Victoria Nuland basically letting the mask slip. Something she does very well. Run the video, Augie.
Does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces.
Oh, so you're concerned because the Russians are going to take control of the bioweapons you're building in Ukraine.
So we are working with the Ukrainians on how they can.
They're worried that Russia's going to find out.
Yeah. Research materials.
So we're worried that the Russians are going to take control of the lethal that we built there for these absolute psycho-Nazis. Yeah. Yeah. We believe you, Vicky. And while Victoria basically admits everything that we said about Ukraine is true, just like the corruption, just like the extrajudicial killings, just like the banning of the opposition, the crushing of the church, the oppression of the language, you know, the people trafficking, the organ harvesting, the gross corruption in the military, judiciary, yeah, blah, 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 you know, poor old Gonzalo Lira. And while all that's happening, you know, you've got to ask yourself, who are the crazy people? Who are the smart ones? Who are the people who have been saying all along since day one that the Ukro scam was just that, the Ukro scam? And of course, well, one of the biggest voices that's been saying it is, of course, Vladimir Putin. So Vladimir Putin calls you a very smart guy, right, Augie? It's something you're going to remember. You know, if Vladimir Putin said, you know, Shabo's a great guy, Augie, what a great sidekick. What a great man in the backseat. Augie, classic dude. Somebody remembers being called a genius by Vlad. And that's the big Don himself. And it's not something he's letting go, you know. As a man, it's nice to get a bit of a slap on the back from a peer adversary even. Right, Augie? Run the video.
Putin said Donald Trump is a genius.
Putin called me a genius, by the way.
Vladimir Putin said Donald Trump is a genius. He's going to do very well.
Putin said Donald Trump's a genius.
Then Putin said Donald Trump is a genius. He's going to be the next great leader of the United States. He said one nice thing about me. He said I'm a genius.
When Putin goes out and tells everybody Donald Trump is a genius, and then I have people saying you should disavow. I said, I'm going to disavow that.
I said, I'm not disavowing that he called me a genius. Are you crazy?
Guy calls you a genius, you're not going to disavow. Do we agree?
I'm not disavowing.
Only a stupid person would disavow, not a genius.
No, a genius wouldn't disavow the fact that Vladimir Putin called me a genius. That wouldn't be a genius move. It wouldn't be a genius move. It wouldn't be a genius move at all. Well, let's leave the old USA for a minute and take a little skip, hop and a jump across the old Atlantic and land in Europe. Good old Europe. Europe, they've been scurrying around like headless chickens at the moment, wondering how, you know, they're going to manage to keep the Ukro scam going all on their own. Uncle Sam has pulled down the shutter, stuck up the gone fishing sign, deal with the shit yourself. And the Europeans are going to try and do it. Now, they've started by saying, you know, we will stand with you as long as it takes, for 10 million years. All coordinated. We saw the little video of that. They're also going to spend 800 billion euros. Now, where the money's going to come from, nobody seems to know. They're not building bridges, roads, hospitals, you know, people sleeping on the streets in the big cities of Europe, immigration. It's a show. But they've got 800 billion coming to spend on defence, loans to countries, even like Ireland, the UK, anyone, just cash in. Someone's going to make a ton of money from it, but it ain't going to be you. And when they do spend this 800 billion euros, what are they going to spend it on? Nobody in Europe, the Blue Hair Brigade, the LGBTQ warriors, the Legion of Lefties, they're not going to go to war for Ursula von der Leyen, Guy Verhofstadt and all the rest of the cretins in the EU Parliament. And if they do get the current batch of fruitcakes and men in dresses to actually go and fight, they're going to run as fast as a rat up a drainpipe when they see the Ruskies coming. And that's a fact. Let's have a look at this terrifying army, the NATO army, yeah, the Salvation Army. Let's have a look at them. Augie, run the video. I mean, this. What is this? This man's army? Oh my. What? I don't even know what to say.
Okay, let's be serious. Let's be serious. I think we should surrender. They're going to kill us all with the cringe.
Oh my God, I don't know. I don't know. It's really, really bad. You know what they do? They'll arrive up to the Russian and say, I'm going to give you a good talking to. Bad Russian. Yeah, it's going to be easy. The blue-haired brigade is on the way. And when the EU isn't, building up this fantasy phantom war with Russia, I mean, there's nobody in Russia thinks that the Russians are going to invade Europe. There wasn't even a plan to invade Europe during Soviet times. It was all made up. The Reds under the bed, it's all complete But guess what? You know what this is about? It's about money. And it's about the terror of the end of the war, the amount of money and political capital that will be lost, and NATO will be basically yesterday's boy if the war in Ukraine doesn't go their way, whatever way that means, a million people dead. Another thing they want to do is they want to actively prevent, right, Augie, this is insane, actively prevent the reopening of the Nord Stream pipeline. Now, the Nord Stream pipeline, the biggest piece of energy infrastructure ever built in Europe, probably, blown up by who? Augie, any ideas who blew up? Nobody seems to know. The victimless crime. The victim doesn't want to know who committed the crime, and the guy who committed it, say no more. We can't mention the name. Don't mention his name. Don't forget what the Americans said at the end of the Second World War. Keep the Germans down, the Russians out, and the Americans in. Guess what? Nord Stream is all part of that big plan. Who's the biggest supplier of liquefied natural gas now to Europe? Probably three times as expensive as Russian gas. Guess what? It's America. Ireland wants to build a big offshore LNG port. Oh my God, it's all by accident, right, Augie? And meanwhile, in Europe, staying here in the beautiful continent, there's been, you know, a predictable reaction from the British and the French, the two old enemies. You know, they fought a lot of wars, these boys. But they're also two post-colonial powers. And they're both suffering from post-colonial delusion syndrome. The idea that they're actually important. They're not that important. Nobody gives a shit about them. Certainly not the Russians or the Americans, who didn't even want them in the room during negotiations over the war. The Americans are basically admitting they started now with Russia. So let's not forget that in 2022, Emmanuel Macron had a phone call with Vladimir Putin. They were talking at the time. And in that phone call, he admitted openly that the Minsk Accords were nothing. They meant nothing. And something else he did, which was very, very much inappropriate and probably led to the fact that Putin hasn't talked to him since, was invite journalists into the room, stuck it on speaker so they could listen in between the private conversation between the presidents of two countries. Run the video, Augie.
Donc, je ne sais pas où ton juriste a appris le droit. Moi, je regarde juste les textes et j'essaie de les appliquer. Et je ne sais pas quel juriste pourra te dire que dans un pays souverain, les textes de loi sont proposés par des groupes séparatistes et c'est pas par ça. Les autorités démocratiquement élues.
Они демократически выбранные правительства. Они пришли к власти в результате кровавого переворота с убийствами и поджогами, и с сжиганием людей живьем. Вот. И Зеленский у вас из этой команды.
And France isn't the only place where some home truths are being delivered, you know? Basically admitting that the peace treaty they'd signed was bullshit and they basically wanted this war with Russia. In the UK, one of the stalwarts of the anti-war movement, a great man, great politician, great orator, and a great truth teller, the much maligned but also much heroized George Galloway, great friend of mine, great friend of the Moscow Mules, really did humanity a service, I would say, Augie. He took the perennially nasty Piers Morgan, the professional eavesdropper who hacked people's phones, caused terrible trauma to people's lives by doing so, and a judge said he'd broken the law, and so he denies he did it at all. basically a gutter press editor. Piers Morgan, cheerleader-in-chief for Zelensky, the corrupt narco-fuhrer, cheerleader-in-chief for what's gone on in Gaza too, who was taken to task by the Bold George, the Scotsman. The Bold George stuck Pierce's head down the toilet of truth for the whole world to observe. Run the video, Oggy.
You have been up his ass all of these two decades. You've kissed his feet.
Really?
You've licked his boots.
Really?
You've fawned upon him.
Really?
You have been his super fan. And now, on this fundamental question of our age, he's entirely wrong. You've got a lot of Ukrainian blood on your hands. You have lied about this war from the beginning.
Vladimir Putin has the blood on his hands of Ukrainians.
You can have a monologue if you like.
3 years ago.
You bring on a guest.
3 years
let
ago.
The guest speak.
3 years
let
ago.
The guest
if you're going to libel me, I will hold you to account.
You have lied about the origin of this war, about the duration of this war, about the course of this war, and now having caused you and your war party the death of a million Ukrainians while claiming to love Ukrainians, you're now calling for British lives to be lost.
What a load of absolute bullshit.
That constitutes close to a war crime.
You are talking. Listen. Get off your Putin fanboy hat for a moment.
Well, you see, there you go.
I'm going to respond in kind.
Anybody who disagrees with you is a Putin fanboy.
Can I respond,
listen,
please?
Why don't you listen to Donald Trump?
Can I respond? Donald Trump, shut up and take your medicine.
Joining
asshole.
Ukraine, forget about it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. George. So that brings us to the end of another episode of the Moscow Mules. I think the theme this week has been keep the war going at any cost, at any price. Doesn't matter how many lives have to be lost. There's a lot of money, cash and treasure up on the feasting table in the temple of war. And the globalist elites are stuffing their faces. Guess what? They're not going to stop easily. If they're dragged out of the temple, they're going to grab the tablecloth and pull the whole table down with them. And Oggy and I will be here, same time, same place next week, telling you the story as it happens. We'll see you then.